today's topic is how to create space for emotional health with Pernilla Lopez.
The one part that I think we are all lacking, and certainly including myself, and I'm on a constant journey of that, is that emotional health and really create space for also emotional health.
Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of the Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Are you feeling burned out or finding it hard to focus on your goals? Or are you in transition? Well, you're not alone. We all need to activate our superpowers. These are the internal strengths and abilities we all already have but don't use all the time. Superpowers can be cultivated, and they include empathy, love, intuition, courage, and more. As always, this episode is brought to you by Well Woman Life, a global community of women living our best lives. Whether it's your health, relationships, your money, or making an impact in your community and the world, Well Woman Life has you covered. You've made a commitment to not settle, to use your voice, and to live your best life. Well Woman Life offers annual memberships, workshops, and retreats to support you. Check out wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join our growing community. Now back to the show. Today's topic is how to create space for emotional health. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to try some new emotional health practices and let your core values guide your daily decisions. My guest today is Pernilla Spears Lopez, former CEO of IKEA and a global director serving on both corporate and nonprofit boards. She's also the co-founder with her daughter of Good Life Designed. She serves currently on the board of Save the Children International, among many others. Pernilla was with IKEA for 21 years. Among several top executive positions, Pernilla held the position as CEO and president for IKEA North America and was a member of the executive management team of the IKEA group for 10 years. In this episode, Pernilla and I talk about how she literally almost worked herself to death as an executive at IKEA, how she woke up to her life and how you can too, how to recognize when you're addicted to being busy and how to turn it around, why we need space for emotional health, why your core values are important in making choices to guide your life, and 5 things you can try to establish a daily practice of self-care that will help you through the tough times. Doesn't that sound good? This is such a good interview. I'm so excited for this and to share this with you. The free giveaway is the Discover Your Core Values worksheet, and you can get it at wellwomanlife.com/092show. I really like this giveaway because it walks you through a simple process to really identify and articulate your core values. And this is so important as we move through our lives and our work and making decisions and do I do this or that? Really being able to identify and articulate and refer back to your core values is so crucial. You can also join the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at wellwomanlife.com/Facebook. Now to my interview with Pernilla Lopez. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Pernilla, I want to start with, you know, we heard your bio. We know that you are a high powered, woman, and we'll get into some of that, but I really want to just start and back up a little and ask you, who are you in the world today? Who do you identify as in the world today?
I think I identify, as someone that, has had a great sort of opportunity in life to have a great career, have a great family and sort of I am on in that place where I feel like I want to pay it forward. So that's how I spent my time. I spent my time mentoring not only women, but also people that are in the middle of their career. I mentor young people, and I try to be sort of the one, offering my experience as a support to people that are looking for advice from somebody that has done this, been there before, and can sort of relate to challenges. Yeah, so that's what I see myself as.
Okay, and is this a formal mentoring relationship, or is it sort of an informal, just happens when it happens, or is it a formal thing?
Yeah, so I have always, I think, been a mentor. I've always used my leadership role throughout my career as being a mentor and bringing people up and seeing the value of that. When I left IKEA in 2011, I took a year off and was asked to write a book, actually, for a publisher in Denmark. And that was a huge opportunity, actually, personally, to reflect on my own life. And I think one of the things I came to was that I didn't want another formal big job. I really wanted to be more purposeful and intentional about being taking on that mentor role, whatever that would be. So today I feel like that's my job on boards, and also I have my own organized small company together with my daughter called Good Life Designed, which is my book was called Design Your Life, and Good Life Designed is really exactly that, help people and support people in designing their best life. And I do that in form of an online course, retreats, workshops, personal mentoring, and give people the tools to create their own self-facilitated, I call them designer circles, where you really get support around designing your best life.
I love that.
I've come to realize that. I think, we all talk about careers, but if we would just step back and say, let's talk about what really is important to me in my life, and then how work and career fits into that, rather than that career steer everything, and then one day you sit and you're like, I spent that whole time, and now where am I? So, very much spent, I think, informal and formal, but I certainly have a small company together with my daughter where we create these opportunities.
Okay. I love that, because I often say to people that we have to design our lives. You know, it's this idea of like taking control and intentionally designing your life the way you want it, instead of just accepting what happens. But I want to ask you, the way you just described it, it sounded to me like maybe you focused on your career. Obviously, you focused on your career. You were the CEO of IKEA for 10 years. And you were in corporate America for a lot longer than that. But did you feel that at some point you neglected other parts of your life and had focused on your career too much?
Totally. And I can share with you that, I think it's typical when you graduate from college, it's like, okay, the pressure's on, you got to find a job. And then it just starts from there. And I from the age of really 22, when I, graduated from college and then went on, and it was just one, I moved to America, then, I was really kind of like doing everything on my own. And before I know it, I am, through all kinds of retail jobs, end up in California. I started in Florida, ended up in Florida. I'm sorry, in California, met my husband. We got married, had two kids. I started with IKEA. We moved to Pittsburgh from there, became a store manager that I had never done before. And you know, with small kids and trying to make it all work, no family around, end up taking a bigger job as HR manager for North America for IKEA, commuting between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia because our office was in Philadelphia. I couldn't move. And before I know it, I have become a person that just keep on going forward and trying to balance and manage and everything. And you know, it came to a crash. I came to where I was taking care of everything. I was leading big things at IKEA. I was trying to, you know, make sure my kids didn't, that I was trying to be everything for them. I lost out on two things. One was myself and the other one was my husband. And we were just, there was a time where I was in Philadelphia and I was taken to the hospital for a really bad anxiety attack. And I literally meant like I was flying through Philadelphia to the hospital in an ambulance with sirens and everything and thought I was going to die. And at the same time, you know, my husband and I have been married now 28 years, but I would say that was the time where young kids, careers, it sort of like all collides, you know, and we're just sort of sitting there going, what the heck happened? And so not that I only have to, you know, I value that time because I say if it wasn't for that, who the heck know what would have happened? But I really woke up about making sure that I take care of myself and actually don't let work completely consume. Mm-hmm. And I think often that is what happens. And at the same time, our children becomes our priority and so does our work. So those two things. And then our relationship with ourselves and our spouse end up. And so that was also a time when my husband and I had to, go to counseling and both, you know, this anxiety attack and kind of accepting that your marriage isn't perfect. Those things were the biggest sort of like challenges because you just don't want to admit that. But they turn out to be the best gifts. And so absolutely did I get to understand right in my heart what happens when you don't take care of yourself, because you would just go down one way or the other.
Yeah. And it seems like, it took the ride in the ambulance for you to pay attention, it sounds like. And what we do a lot on the Well Woman Show is we talk to women like you who have been through this, you know, been at really high leadership levels, been at the top of your game in your field. And what I'm trying to do is share with women the lessons learned so that they don't have to take that ride in the ambulance in order to figure it out. What would you say to that?
Well, I think, in some way I do believe, and I say that because I mentor a lot of women at that age group that I was at and the young children and you have to be ready to hear what other people say. When I was at that place, I had my close mentor that would tell me, wow, you never take break. You're taking on more. And, you know, my people around me would say, oh, you're always busy. Are you sure you're all right? And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Of course I can do this. And so in some way, I think it's part of that time that you're just running on all cylinders, and it makes you, it's sort of like some sort of, call it a high, or it's a little bit of an addiction, because you're just invincible and you're just testing every aspect. So my experience is that people need to be ready to hear and listen to themselves. And often it takes some sort of unfortunately, some sort of situation, whatever that is it a marriage? Is it something that happens where you're like, wow. And so I think that's one aspect. The other aspect is the work I do and that I have, I can say with this on my Design Your Life process, I think there's a lot of things you can do if you start a practice early. It's kind of like, if you practice, you know, we know that our minds is what gets us to work. No, I mean, that's what really drives a lot of things. We are probably all of us knowing that we need to exercise and take care of our bodies. The one part that I think we are all lacking, and certainly including myself, and I'm on a constant journey of that, is that emotional health and really create space for also emotional health. And I think if you start a practice early on, if it is journaling, if it is really figuring out what your core values are, have a tool to constantly look at your life and not put things on hold forever or be in denial about it, kind of make plans all the time for not just what you're going to do with your work and how much money you're going to make, but also what you're going to do to spend time with your husband or have time for yourself and all that. So I think it's a holistic approach. And I think if you start that practice early on, and I'm teaching my daughter that. I mean, that's, I think, one of the advantages of us working together and being at two different generations, that she has tools now to really make choices throughout her life.
Now, did she follow? Yeah.
Yes.
Did she follow your did she follow your path in terms of corporate, or is she doing the entrepreneur path?
That's a funny question, because that's exactly right. She is she's in the event business. She is an event producer and works with different partners, but she is very much a freelancer. And so I think that's even, I think, a tougher place to be, because sometimes you have, you know, you can at least use your corporation's opportunities to take training and leadership development and so forth. When you're on your own, you're really on your own. Mm-hmm. So I think this is very helpful for her. But I think it is important that you have tools and ways of supporting yourself, because just going and getting a massage every 2 weeks or having a date night once in a while with your husband, I just don't think is enough to balance the you know, when you're going full speed ahead with a career.
Yeah. So I want to just pick up on something that you mentioned, which was being ready to hear. And being able to hear, you know, what people are telling you and your mentors and things. What do you think? And I think you alluded to, you know, being ready to hear means having a practice in place so that you are, you know, ready to hear those things. What are some of those tools that you recommend, like in your book and in your work? What are some of those tools and ways of supporting yourself that you recommend to women?
Well, I think, there's some of the very basic things, which I think, having an exercise routine, I think, is extremely important. And we talked a little bit about that. And I think most people know that that's important. The other things, I mean, besides, you know, of course, all the things that I suggest in my concept of designing your best life, which, you know, certainly people can read about. But I think finding things that really will give you time away from the business. So obviously meditation is a good thing, but a lot of people are having struggle with that because they are just not. But meditation, there's a great app called Headspace, and I think that is could be a very good thing. The other thing is literally walking with a friend, where you are. I mean, I know that when women walk, they just talk, and they're talking randomly about different things, because it's like offloading everything that's going on. So that's a huge thing. I think having, I am a big, big supporter and advocate for a routine of journaling. There is nothing better than writing things down and just writing it for yourself. And no, like nobody's going to ever, but it's like your best friend. Another one is to really have, I believe that we all need to have the concept of a mentor in our life. And it can be different people during different times, but having a mentor, someone that isn't your mother, your sister, your friend, someone that actually understand what you are going through. So I am a mentor to quite a lot of people that are, is not in my circle, and they feel comfortable calling me and say, can we have coffee? And they tell me some of the things that are going on in their lives, and I am just a listener that can pick up on different things. So those are some of the things that I suggest. And I think one of the things I've learned by working on the things I talk about, which are really the journaling, a mapping tool, knowing your core values, having a personal mission statement, create an action plan, and having a mentor, those concepts, when you're comfortable with those and have that in your system, I feel like you always have a place to return home to. Mm-hmm. And that, what I mean with home is that when you know all of those things and are comfortable with those, you can never really be lost. And you are really prepared to have, you know, almost anything that comes at you, that you are able to handle that and not lose yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, we prepare for what's going to happen if we have a financial situation. You know, we're good at planning so many different things and prepare ourselves for what can happen in different parts of our life. The one area where people have very little tools is when you get off balance on your own self. Yeah. And that's what I think is important, is building stamina, building tools, developing muscles to sort of stand tall when you're, you know, when the weather gets really rough. Yeah. And so that's what I think is important, to build strong skills and tools in an area of sort of emotional intelligence and emotional well-being.
Okay. And you mentioned being a mentor. And one of the things that comes up a lot with women I talk to is needing a network of women around them, a community of women. And so before our interview started, we were talking about you had just spent a week in Santa Fe at your group, where you get together with high level, you know, type A personality women. And that's your time to have your community of women around you. So would you add that into your list of things, and not just having a mentor, but having peers?
Absolutely. I would say peers, but also just a network of other women in your, because sometimes, you know, peers, you end up talking a lot about business. No, I mean, I think the specific network that I'm part of, even if we're all sharing a lot of personal stuff, I think still people talk a lot about what they do. And I think what really can help all of us is actually have relationship, network, you know, groups where it's not what we do, it's really just be and who we are as individuals, and support that. And that can be done in many different ways. But I think if you don't have a good group of women around you that you can sort of share things with. I talk about walking. I talk about, you know, getting together and just have conversations. It's interesting. I met a group of women here in Los Angeles. I mean, I'm pretty new here. We've only been here a couple of years. It takes a while to get friends. And this woman invited me into a group that meet for dinners. And I'm like, it was a long way for me to drive. And I'm like, do I really want to go? And then at the same time, I said, if I don't go, how will I find this new network? And they literally meet for dinner on a Thursday night for 3 hours. And it's just fabulous. And they always come up with a topic that we talk about at dinner. So, and it's not a let's talk about, you know, what's your most successful moment. It's what are your struggles? What are things you need? What would you feel is the biggest thing you're dealing with right now or whatever? And within, you know, I feel like within two dinners, I feel like I have a group of women that I'm not saying I'm there yet. Well, I can share my deepest concern with them, but I feel like we're building that. And yeah. So I think it's about being intentional about it and also not sit at home and wait for that. But who are they and how do you, even if you already have a network, how do you make it a little more, you know, maybe intimate and intentional, but also authentic and real.
Yeah, that's so important. And that's something that I do with the Well Woman Life community is we have monthly get togethers where we talk about our successes and challenges, you know, as women and all the roles that we carry in life, in our work, in our personal life. And we have some women who are running for office or holding office. And, you know, there are just a lot of challenges, a lot of different roles and responsibilities that we have as women. So I want to ask you, Pernilla, about your time at IKEA, and just to give listeners a sense of the magnitude of that job that you held for so long. Being the CEO and president for IKEA North America and growing it from just a few stores to like 50 stores, that was a huge thing, and that almost killed you, you said. Did you recover from that? And how long did you continue working for IKEA before you decided to leave? And how did you decide to leave?
Yeah, so thank you. I think to step a little bit back and share with you that when I was HR for North America, that was the biggest challenge, I think, for myself, because it was a job I had never done before. People question, how does she become an HR manager when she's never done that before? I was commuting. I was telling you all those things. And that was when I had this anxiety attack. I was also moving forward big strategies around, you know, domestic partnership, diversity, paying employees more money, bringing the real IKEA culture to America. And I mean, people, you know, I was in an all-male management group that all looked at me every day and go, oh, here she comes again, or they would be real critical every time I came forward with something. So that was really difficult. And the reason I bring that up is that is actually my job as a store manager in Pittsburgh and this HR manager for North America. They really prepared me for the big job. So when I became president of IKEA North America, I was humbled by the challenge for sure. And again, I took on a job that I had never done before. And I had sort of that Pippi Longstocking attitude of, I haven't done this before. I'm sure I can figure this out. And I think that was really my attitude, because I was so humbled that how could I tell anybody that I knew what I was doing? Because it was obvious, coming then from an HR perspective, that I would use my leadership and my, all the things that I had learned along the way must be good enough for me to do this job. So when I took this job, it was nothing but challenges for 9 years. And I can go on and on and on about those challenges. However, I was emotional, physically, mindfully ready for this challenge, and every single thing had prepared me up to that, and I think that was really critical and key. So I never felt that I really lost myself again. I never felt that I didn't expect there would be a day where I would be like, oh, I got this. I would just be prepared for that. Every day would bring new things, and I trusted myself and my team, and we would figure it out, and we did. And like I said, everything was a challenge. It was, I would say, the complexity, ambiguity that I was dealing with was beyond anything that I would ever have imagined. But the reason I kept on going and thought it was exciting was exactly those things, that everything was, you know, new. There was excitement, there was challenges, there was great team, there was support from some part, and then others were sort of trying to, sabotage me, but I was also quite aware and ready for that. So I felt like after 9 years, and when sort of like my the job that I had been asked to do, I felt my season was over in that, and it was ready for somebody else coming in with much more of a focus on operation. And I was offered a job to this gentleman that I worked with, was CEO of IKEA, a phenomenal guy, was like my true, you know, had my back at every aspect. And he asked me to take on the global HR job. And I then became HR manager for all of IKEA for, at that point, 135,000 people. And we're able to bring, I think, a whole new business understanding to HR, and we created a new strategy. But I was commuting. My husband at this point, now we had moved from Philadelphia to Chicago, so I commuted almost every week between Chicago and Europe. And after, you know, 2.5 years, I said, I'm not moving to Europe, and I had been with IKEA for, you know, 21 years. And I think sometimes it's just good to say, yeah, you know, leave on a high and say, yeah, it's You're time done. To move on. Mm-hmm. And it's easy. It's actually easier to hang on. But I felt, no, I want to leave with such good experience. So that's why I left and have not looked back, and I miss the people. I stayed away, and I'm not one that keeps in touch and you know, I do with people, but I don't ask them so much about their job.
Yeah.
Because I feel like once you leave, you don't want to be one of those that are like, so how is it going? And I'm still interested, but I'm not attached,
yeah,
in any way. Yeah.
So now you were with IKEA for 21 years. Where, for the listeners to understand the time frame, where within those 21 years did you have the big ambulance ride and the big wake up? Was it before you became the CEO?
Yeah, that's what I said. That, yeah, was the, so the HR manager job for North America before I became president was the real challenging job. And that was when I was commuting.
Yeah.
It was when, you know, that my kids were young. I was trying to be the perfect mom. I mean, it was just crazy. But like I said, that was the, my first job with IKEA was in California, where I started as a sales manager for the West Coast. And then I, with two young kids, I got the opportunity and to move to Pittsburgh to take on my dream job, was to be a store manager. And then I did that for 4 years. And my husband's career was now taking off. He's in education. Then I was offered the job as HR manager for North America, and I was able to be one of the first people really that were telecommuting and kind of, you know, working remote. And that was, you know, the opportunity for me to actually have taken that job, because, yeah, my husband certainly didn't think it was right for us to move, but it also became just too much. And that's when I had this anxiety attack. And yeah, that's what I was saying. I was able to prepare myself for after that, take on bigger jobs without losing myself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. That's why I wanted to get a picture of the time frame, so that people understood that you actually went on after that collapse and that anxiety, you know, you went on to sort of figure it out, quote unquote, figure it out, and then go on to be the CEO for IKEA for 10 years. So very interesting story. And we could do a whole other show on your HR policies for employees, which I'm very interested in terms of family-friendly policies. I run a project about that, but maybe we can talk about that separately. I want
to be happy to. Yeah,
I would love to. I would love to move into the segment. It's our final segment called Superpowers for Success. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Being a well woman includes being financially healthy.
Our sponsors, Lorraine L. and Kate Stalter of Better Money Decisions, are on a mission to eliminate complexity and confusion from your financial life. They replace Wall Street jargon with straightforward talk you can understand, and they create investment and retirement plans customized for your needs and your future. Download a free copy of their latest book, Don't Let Your Money Kick the Bucket Before You Do, and learn how to avoid the biggest mistakes women make when planning for retirement. Go to bettermoneydecisions.com/wellwoman and download your free book today. The first question is, what does success in life mean for you, Pranila?
Yeah, I mean, I have redefined that very, very clearly. Certainly, success to me is not about, you know, how high you are in an organization or how much money you make or how much stuff you have. I really believe that I define success in really being grounded in who I am and show up everywhere truly who I am and what I believe in and do what I love without losing myself. And be able to handle anything that comes at me. And I believe that when you're clear on who you are and when I am clear who I am, when I do what I love without being obsessive about it and losing myself, I am the best for everybody else. And I can make a much bigger difference in the world.
Yeah, that's so true. And part of that is knowing when to say no to things, right? Not thinking you can do everything all the time.
Saying no is much more, for people like myself, it's a lot harder than just saying yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Okay, my next question is, when did you know you were really good at what you do?
I don't think I ever have that feeling. There's moments that I think, yeah, this is good. I can do that. There are moments where I am in awe over what I'm able to bring as a question for a person that is in, you know, kind of like in confusion, or help people get their own clarity, or when I'm part of a leadership group and we get a breakthrough, I say, this is exciting. But I don't ever get a sense of I am at a place where I'm really, really good at it. I always feel like there's more to learn and more to develop. And I actually feel that that is a important place to be. So there's a difference. I don't have a lack of confidence because I just believe that if I really put myself to it, I can really learn anything. But I also don't think I ever stop and say, I'm good at it now. I mean, I can give you an example. I do yoga at least 3-4 times. I go to classes. And I was really, really a beginner. And I would say it was a struggle. And I was kind of lousy, but you don't really use that word at yoga. But anyway, I was a beginner. And you know what? I feel like I am just progressing all the time, but there's always a new level. So it's just this constant, you know, excitement about not having reached it, but stop and say, and I definitely do that. There's times where I stop and say, you know what? I have come a long way from that first time I walked into the studio. But it is, I think our lives and what we do is just like yoga teachers, they are never done. They still practice every day. They always feel that they can learn from others. And I think that's what I think. I am not putting myself down. I celebrate moments, but I don't stop. And I don't ever feel like I have reached that where I can say, I'm really good at this. I would not say that it would be wrong to do, but I'm just saying that I feel there are moments where I say, this is good, I can really do this. But then the minute after, I'm like, so how do I continue to grow?
Yeah. Yeah. And what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I would say that, you know, life comes full circle. No, it comes to, I actually feel now that I am closer to who I was as a kid than I've ever been. And what I mean with as a kid, I am the person I was at that time. There was just a lot of things that got in the way. And I've spent quite a lot of time on figuring out, you know, who was that, you know, young woman. And I feel very connected to that, which is I have in all my life done stuff that I was not prepared for. And now if I had had that insight along those jobs that I have now, is that just go in with it saying, I don't know how to do this, but I'm sure I can figure it out. And that I kind of had inside me along the way, but I would have had much less anxiety if I had just embraced that the way I do now.
And so what would you call that in terms of like your superpower?
I would just make it, sort of connect back to who were you? What was your real personality? What was really your the core of you when you were 12 years old? And it's not a superpower. It is you. It's your power. And I think that's what happens over the years. So many other people influence us, our parents, our religion, our school, our jobs, and they push all of these things on what you have to do and who you have to be and all that. And that person, that voice, is what gets lost. And I think if we can just get back to that 12-year-old voice of, this is who I am and this is what excites me, it doesn't change. Mm.
Yeah, we get
and
sort
it's,
of...
It's not easy to get there. It's not easy to get there. It's work to get there. But once you get there, you're like, wow, how did I lose that?
Right. And it's so much easier. Everything yeah. seems easier and more in flow when you find that.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, I just have so many people that I am working with get back to that. And then they're like, okay, I got it now. There's a woman that I... you know, have been mentoring. She has so many things. She's an incredibly successful person, but just saw everything as a very kind of like daunting world. And we've spent some time together. And I remember her saying to me, I think I aspire to be fearless. And I said to her, and I gave her a couple of weeks to think about it. And I said to her, aspire to be fearless? What if I ask you that that's who you are, but you've lost it? And the way her life has changed just from that one insight is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like activating those things that we already have that we just don't tap into, finding a way to tap into that.
Absolutely. And just have that confidence, because I think that is what is especially tough for women in our world. We just continue to tell ourselves in our heads that we're not good enough, that others are better. We probably can't be doing things. I mean, and that is just part of, I think, our DNA and how we're wired. But if you don't keep on pushing that voice away, I mean, I can tell you, including myself, still that voice shows up in the most weird places when I'm like, why is this voice coming and saying I'm not smart enough here? I have worked my whole life to be here. I know what I'm doing. And that voice, you just got to say, you know, no, you, it's kind of like, stop it. And then I think for all of us women, we just got to help each other and certainly be, you know, quite clear that we are good enough and that we are better than we give ourselves credit for. And that idea of, you know, just not matching up is really, I think, causing a lot of stress, and also that we are stopping ourselves from taking on even bigger jobs.
Mm. And Pernilla, what advice would you give your 25 or 30-year-old self?
Instead of always looking forward, take some time to look and reflect and before you just jump. And that, you know, if I had been more connected to my, as you call it, superpower of the core of who I am, which is being full of courage and full of wanting to not afraid of rolling up my sleeves and go into stuff that I haven't done and that I would figure it out. If I had, you know, kind of kept on reflecting on who I am and not wanting to lose that and be clear on what that is and what are my core values and what am I trying to do with my life, then I would have probably suffered less in those many years. But I'm also a person that believe, having written a book, Design Your Life, which is really sort of my own story with all the tools that I've received from my work at IKEA that I share, you know, that everything happened for a reason. Yeah. And everyone was a lesson that I need to learn. And so I don't regret anything. I'm happy for all of those because I think it is at adversity. When you have adversity and challenges is the only time you really grow. And good times is just for you to take a break. It's like when you exercise and you feel really good afterwards, but that feeling doesn't stay, no? And so it's like constantly, you know, taking on, you know, challenges or when adversity comes, even as painful as it is, know that there's a benefit of you being, you going through that.
Mm. Okay. Couple last questions here. Do you identify as a feminist?
Yeah, I would say so. And I'm proud of that. I mean, I think there's some negative thoughts and feelings around that. But no, I absolutely believe that women, we have a lot to offer. And it's very, very frustrating after all these years to still, number one, women feeling that we're not good enough. Two, that we are not at every table wherever decisions are being made. It is embarrassing. Mm. And I think men need to really wake up and understand that we are here, we add value, and I think we got to move to, you know, forward. We cannot be stuck in this.
Yeah. Okay. And then last question, what are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
Well, right now, I want to tell you about a book that I think really kind of stood out for me that I'm reading. And it's actually, I just finished it. And it's The Small Great Things by Jodi P. Colt. And it's a great, great book. I love the way she writes. And I love just, you know, when I take some time off for myself, it's just great reading and it makes me relax. But what is really specifically good about this, she really is so accurate about the sense right now about race. And there are three incredible characters, a white supremacist, a African-American nurse, and a young white lawyer. And that story just is like humbling because she really describes the story behind each and the story that we don't all know. And it was just a great, great book.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, we'll link to that in the show notes. And we'll also, of course, link to your website and your book. And Pranella, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. And I'm really excited. My book is coming out in China this fall. So I don't know what that means, but I hope that Chinese women are starting to design their lives. So thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to probably talk to you again.
Thank you. That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your Well Woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join us. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week.
For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you are listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.